Hi, welcome to Redeem the Commute. I'm Ryan, your host for the Daily Challenges. Today's Thursday, the day in our weekly rhythm where we try to apply and live out some of what we've been learning this week. And this week we've been learning about the story where God rescued the people of Israel from slavery in Egypt. And when they were cornered and helpless and it looked like they were going to be attacked or brought back into slavery, God opened up a way nobody expected. He opened up a path for them through a body of water called the Red Sea so they could escape from the advancing Egyptian army. It's a pretty incredible moment. And I asked you yesterday to think a little bit about how this would have been a defining moment for Israel and how this might have been foreshadowing what Jesus would someday do for Israel and all God's people in the world. Now, this was a defining moment for Israel. Here was a supposed nation of people who were just slaves somewhere. It's hard to have an identity as a nation when you're slaves. They'd done their best to maintain their unique, distinct identity, but it would have been really tough. But now God had just led them miraculously out of Egypt through the plagues, through the cloud and fire, through the Red Sea. God had done these incredible things for them and not for Egypt. They were finally getting an identity again as a nation. They were God's chosen people. They'd always been told that, they'd always believed it, but it was not always visible, wasn't always apparent, like it was on that day when God parted the Red Sea and led them through it. It would have been an incredible moment of coming together for that nation and recognizing that yes, they were God's chosen people. They were also going to be a nation with a land. God had promised them he was bringing them to a land of milk and honey. Now he brought them by a roundabout way to teach them trust, just like he taught them to trust him at the Red Sea when they found themselves trapped. God taught them they could trust him for their salvation, not their geography, not their own resources or weapons. God could be trusted. They were saved. They became a nation. And this was the defining moment. Now, this wasn't just a moment for Israel to enjoy. This was an experience for the entire world. Remember, God had said that Israel would someday bless the entire world. That plan was in motion. And God was showing us when it would come to its fulfillment, when the people of Israel would indeed bless the entire world. Many, many hundreds of years later, God led a new exodus, not for Israel, but for all people. The leader of this second exodus wasn't Moses, but Jesus. What he did is he invited all of humanity to follow him on a new exodus. Out of slavery to sin and death, through death, into a new life in his kingdom. Jesus' promised land is the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven, which he preached about regularly, where the world would be put right once again, where all that was broken, that we could call sin or death, was put right once again. That's the kingdom of God. That's the new promised land that Jesus was leading us to. But what stood in our way was death. Sin and death go together. Sin leads to death. The wages of sin is death, is what the Bible says. And so what Jesus wanted to do was to lead humanity through sin and death into new life. And to do that, he had to destroy death's power. When he went to the cross on Good Friday 2,000 years ago, he brought with him the sin of the entire world that would normally lead to death. Instead of it leading to our deaths, though, it led to his death on a cross for us. He passed through death for us, but he didn't stay dead. He rose again to new life, emerging on the other side of the Red Sea, you could say. And he invites us to follow him through that path he's created, through death and into life. In the process, death's power is destroyed. As the waters crash down on the army of Egypt, who intended to destroy the Israelites, in the same way, as Jesus rose again from the dead, he destroyed death's power, so that death did not have to reign over us anymore, that we could trust in God for our salvation now, rather than in ourselves. Our lives no longer needed to end in spiritual and physical death, but could end in the kingdom of heaven. This is what baptism is meant to symbolize for Christians. Going under waters that would normally drown somebody and then emerging again to a new life in relationship with God, bought through Jesus, not through our own works. The Israelites didn't even trust God very well. They wanted to turn back and be slaves, or some of them probably wanted to fight, Either way, it looked like they were heading for destruction. But they were saved by a mighty act of God, not their own actions. And in the same way, Christians are saved by God's grace and God's love, by trusting in Him rather than by any of our own actions, by being holy and good or trying to overcome sin and death ourselves. If you've ever felt out of control in your own life, you're not alone. We humans aren't made to fix our own lives, to become so perfect and holy that we can overcome sin and death on our own. If you've been trying to be ultra-spiritual, religious, and you find yourself crushed under that weight, if you've been finding yourself just lost in life, not sure how you're supposed to fix everything that's wrong, look at this story and see how the Israelites were saved not by their own actions, but by simply putting their faith and trust in God. Moses' command to them was just to stand still and be quiet and trust God. And sometimes that's the way we need to face life's problems too. When we find ourselves trying to take God's place, we need to step back, stand still, be quiet, and trust God to do His job, and not to try to take His place. The Israelites maybe couldn't see it at the time. They couldn't see how God was going to intervene in this situation because it looked hopeless. But for the rest of time, they looked back at that event and said, "This is how God saved us. This is now who we are." In the same way, for a Christian, you can look back and say, "You know what? I'm not perfect. I haven't always trusted God, but God saved me all the same. And that changes who I am now. I'm now part of a new nation called the church, part of a new people. I'm now a follower of Jesus." If you've never had that moment, I'd encourage you to do that, to put your faith and trust in God, to tell Him in a prayer that you trust Him wholeheartedly, that despite your doubts and fears, you'll stand back, be quiet, and watch God do His thing, to intervene in your life, to save you from sin and death. And then I want you to consider today's challenge. Think about how you might practice this kind of living every day. Take some time to thank God for the ways He's cared for you and saved you. By remembering His faithfulness, you can face what is ahead with renewed courage. Secondly, fear can paralyze, so through prayer and practice, try to change your perspective from being hemmed in by fear to walking with boldness through confident faith in God's protection and provision. Where's God asking you to trust Him? Where is He trying to lead you? Where do you need to put your complete faith and trust in Him and not yourself? Well, that's your challenge for this week. I'll see you tomorrow as we take time for prayer and reflection, or Saturday and Sunday as we take time for rest and community. Have a great one. Bye for now.